Ches, Pasuk Ches. Okay, Pasuk Ches, Gem Perk Mem Ches, Pasuk Ches, where Emil describing the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. I give you two handouts. Everyone should have two handouts. We need the handout for the Malbim that we're going to learn a little bit later today. But let's first get through the base, some Sukkim. Let's get through the Shvatim. The first handout we need to just focus on for a few moments is the handout from yesterday. Handout from yesterday is this page 975 on top. Okay, there are two different handouts. This one is 975. This comes from the back of Sefer Yecheskel, and the other one comes from Sefer Yoshua. I didn't put in the bottom the permission. It says here that it's aser mamish. They write here very, very, very hataka asua b'chol tzura shehi. So you should know that I have permission. Harav Meir Zlatowitz, according to Levracha, when he was alive, he wrote me. I used to ask him all the time, and he wrote me in an email. He said to me that I can, whenever I want in the future, I can copy whatever I want for my shiurim.
So stop writing me.
What?
Stop
exactly, right, exactly. Stop annoying him.
He says the same thing now.
And he told me, he wrote there in the email, he says, I'm doing for you what I've never... So he wrote, I'll show it to you, I'll dig it up. I'm sure I have it somewhere in the archives. I'm doing for you what I've never done for anyone else. I'm giving you blanket permission for anything you want to do, Allah Osset. He was very... My father was very close with him. My father was maybe a classmate. In fact, he made the invitations for my parents' wedding. After my aunt's wedding, he was a Talmud of my grandfather, Rabbi Shafshik, and Meir was a Talmud of my grandfather, and he when my mother got married, he was a printer. He was before art school started. He made invitations. Yeah. That was his parnasa, and he made a very, very fancy invitation. Not something that my grandfather could afford. He made a very lavish invitation for my mother's wedding, for free, and for my aunt's wedding. And so we have the invitation. It was a beautiful invitation, and so he was. And then he was close to my father.
Always you still used to have it around somewhere.
Yeah, I do. I have it. I have the invitation. I have it. You want to see it? Bring it in one day.
What's the last name of your mother's father?
Warshavchik. And he also he was very close to my father. My father. They were classmates. He used to actually daven. His father.
She was Chaim Berlin,
you know? No. RJJ. Oh. His father. I don't know exactly how his father lived near my father's shul, the Young Israel Avenue J, Rav Aaron Zlatowitz. Mm-hmm. My father first became rabbi, so he lived in the neighborhood. So his father used to daven in the shul. I don't know why exactly. I don't think he was so close to the shul, but he used to come into the shul pretty often. So Meir Zlatowitz would come to visit his father, would come to the shul to check up on his father. So he would come into the Young Israel Avenue J very often. And he would always talk to my father, and he would also give my father gifts. Every time he published a new sefer, he would come and give my father the sefer. So we had a close relationship. And I continued that, whatever. So I used to, whatever. So he was very kind to me because of my father. And always in regards to my father. And he told me I can do whatever I want. But he told me I should write on the piece of paper that it's with permission. I didn't have a chance to do that.
You should do that.
What? I know. I just lazy. I don't have time. It takes whatever. I used to be much more careful, much more meticulous than this. But I've become very, very lazy. And the shoe is getting smaller and smaller. So. All right, so... Okay, let's see. Over here, let's... So therefore, you know these are coming from... Obviously, this one, I have permission. Now, let's go further. Pasuk Ches, it says, V'al Givul Yehuda. Okay, we're up to Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Ches. So we've got the yesterday, Don, the first seven on top. Don, Asher, Naphtali, Menashe, Ephraim, Reuven, Yehuda. And now we're up to number 8, the 8th strip of land in the center of Eretz Yisrael, which is 25,000 kanim, which is 125,000 amos. And we're going to describe this section. And this section is blown up into detail, as we've done this probably a few times already, on the bottom of this piece of paper. You see at the bottom, that bottom section is just an enlargement of the section called the Teruma. And the Teruma is pretty much broken up into 4/5 parts. The upper portion in the center is the Kohanim, and that's where the Beis HaMikdash is located. The middle section is the Levim. The lower section is what's called the Achuzas HaIr, and there's also inside called the Ir LeMoishav. And on the left and the right, the remainder of that strip, on the left and the right, the west and the east, is for the Melech the Melech, the Nasi, which the truth is, we don't even know what the Nasi is. We learned from a few parakim, a little bit before, the Nasi is Machlaikis in the Rishonim. Is the Nasi referring to the Kohen Gadol?
Right.
Or is the Nasi referring to the Melech? Which Melech? I guess the Melech HaMashiach, and I guess all of his descendants thereafter. But Pasuk Ches begins to describe this section, the Al Gvul Yehuda, below the Chelik of Yehuda, Nipa'as Kadim, towards the east side. From, Nipa'as means from the east. Ad Pas Yama, Tia Hatiruma. This section is called Hatiruma, Sher Terimu, you will uplift. Chamisha, here we have the measurements. Chamisha, the Eshrim Elif, 25,000 Elif Rechaf. 25,000 amos rochav, yoyrech, and the length will be ke'achar hachalakim. Now this exactly was the main, this is very important, because here is the only place where it says, as I hear here, here is the only place, take this also, here is the only place where it says the number 25,000. All the other scripts, as we learned yesterday, the Rashi doesn't say 25,000, and the only way that we know it's 25,000 because it says this pasuk compares it to the other ones. So it says here it's going to be 25,000. Tihi, it's going to be Hatzuma, Ashatim, Chamisha, the Eshim Elif, 25,000, 1,000, Roichav. Roichav in this context means going south, from north to south, because that's the smaller side. Just turn it up. Whatever is the smaller side is called the Roichav. The Oirech and the length, Ki Achar HaChalakim, and the length will be from end to end, like one of the other portions, Mipa'as Kodima, at Pas Yama, from the east to the west, V'hoya HaMikdash B'Soichai, and the base HaMikdash will be within. Let's see this Pasuk in the Mitzudo Stavit, Pasuk Ches, Mipa'as Kodima, HaChelik will be Mipa'as Kodim, Tiyah HaTuma, Hi HaAmur L'Mala, Torimu HaTuma L'Hashem, Ad V'Lanasi Mizeh U'Mizeh, the Nas will take his portion on the left and on the right. Roichav mitzafon ledarom. The roichav is a smaller ear that goes from top down. Ke'achar achalakim shalaku hashvatim lutesefes beyar oma mipas kadima. And the pasuk goes on to explain it just from right to left, from west, from east to west. B'seicha b'seicha tuma hahi kamosh mefarish shalach. As the pasuk is going to say now, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk ches, a long Rashi, not so long, but relatively long. Tia Hatuma. Vim Taimar. Heyachi Tochen Shetia Yerushalayim Bimukaima. Okay, Rashi is asking some fundamental questions. How could Yerushalayim be in the same place as it was in the past? How could the capital of Yerushalayim be the same as it was in the past? That it doesn't seem to fit. V'halo Hoysa Yerushalayim B'netzer Tzifani Shal Yehuda. Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim in the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and now, even right now, is in the Netzer Tzofon, the northern boundary shel Yehuda, of Yehuda, on Shenotal Droima shel Eretz Kanan. Now Yehuda in Sefer Yehoshua took the southern boundary. Now look at the other piece of paper for a moment. Okay, it's not why I made the copy, but we have it, so it's just convenient. You look at the other people, you see over here that this is the way the land was divided among the Shvatim in the time of Yehoshua. Where is Yehuda? Yehuda is in the south. And where is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is the boundary between Yehuda and Binyamin. Mamish on the boundary. It says Binyamin. Mamish on the boundary. On the boundary between Yehuda and Binyamin is where is the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the south. That's the south. Over here, when we're dividing up the strips of land and we're going all the way from the north down to the south, we have a long way to go. We're just getting started here. We have Yehuda, and now we have the Truma, and then we're going to have Binyamin, we have Shimon, Yisachar, Zevulun, and Gad. L'cha'ira, we're much, much above. The place of the Truma is much higher. If we're going to assume that the boundaries are pretty much the same now that they were in the time of Yehoshua, so, and we have over here another bunch of strips, another six strips to go, L'chaira, five below, but including the Truma itself, okay, right?
That's
Yerushalayim. Okay, right, so five below it, so L'chaira, we are much, much more north than Yehuda than before. Match up these two.
If we're looking at the map, okay, and
and Yerushalayim, exactly where on this borderline, I don't know, but it's on the borderline of Binyamin and Yehuda.
Yeah.
Right? And if you look from north to south, clearly it's below the midpoint of the north-south plane, correct?
And, correct.
And the strip, we've already had 8 to the north, and we're going to have 5 to the south. So clearly, it's also south of the midpoint.
Okay, that's correct. That's really what the answer is. But if you don't have the big picture, like we have the picture. Right, let's just get the question. The question is better than the answer we're going to have. But the problem is this microphone on? It's not. The battery's going. The battery's going out. It goes in and out. We have a general assumption. Okay, without going into details, Yehuda is the south, correct? The picture already shows you where it is. So you can be creative and you can match it up if you really want to stretch it. But the bottom line is, if you don't have the picture in front of you, the assumption is, where is Yehuda? Yehuda in time of Yeshua was in the south.
Yes.
He was the bottom south.
Correct.
Yehuda here is not the bottom south of Eretz Yisrael.
Relatively south.
Okay, relatively south, but it's not. There's a lot more to go. There's Binyamin, there's Shimon, there's Issachar, there's Zvul, there's Gad. And if you look at this in a very superficial way, you would assume that the place called the Truma is much, much more north than where the Beis HaMikdash was in the time of Yehoshua. Since the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Yehoshua was in the Chelik of Yehuda, on the top of Yehuda, and Yehuda is in the south, he's the bottom. He's the bottom of Eretz Yisrael, like you see in the picture. Yehuda's in the bottom. Shimon doesn't really exist. Shimon didn't have any land. Shimon just had cities. Shimon did not have any land in Eretz Yisrael. He just had cities in Yehuda. So we got a problem here. It does not seem that there's a way to overlap. We can overlap the Yerushalayim of the time of Yehoshua with the Yerushalayim of the time of Yemos HaMashiach. Isn't that scary? Isn't this Rashi a scary Rashi? We would censor this Rashi, no? This is a scary Rashi. V'yim Taimar. Ha'och yitochein she'tiyeh te Yerushalayim b'mekoyma. V'haloi hoysa Yerushalayim b'metzer tzofoni shel Yehuda. In the other picture, we have Yehuda. We have the tip of Yehuda between Yehuda and the Binyamin. It was the northern border, Shnatal Jomer, Shalev Shnatal, and Yehuda took this land. That's the south area to Israel. Shalev Kanan. V'kan hi be'emtza ha'shvatim. So what's going on over here? We got a problem. So Rashi answers, no, it works out. Ein chaluka zo doimel lechalukas Yehoshua shezo kishua sakerem. It's true. When you look at it on a very superficial level without seeing diagrams, illustrations, maps, then the problem is a real problem. It doesn't seem to make sense. But when you know the details that Yehuda took a massive chunk of land, look at the picture. Look how much land Yehuda took. It's massive. It's almost like Kehav Eretz Yisrael. It's massive. And in the time of Mashiach, the Bayis Shlishi, he's not taking such a massive chunk of land. He's taking just a piece of land like everyone else. So then, indeed, when you're going to overlay one, and if you also want to assume, let's say we want to be very generous and we want to say that the boundary will extend further down than before, all the way down to Mitzrayim, whatever. So then, it works out. Ein chaluka zodomel lechalukas Yehoshua kishezo kishua sakem. This was like the rose of a vineyard. Everyone got equal strips. The chol hachalakim shem, all of the different portions are exactly the same. The chalukas Yehoshua hayeshevet Yehuda chele gadol. What he took over here in time of Yeshua was massive. The afki chalko hayerav mimenu ad shenotal shimon bigaroloi. And the chelek was too much. The amount of land that Yehuda had was more than they can actually occupy, actually protect, actually use. That's the problem. No, Eretz Yisrael. That problem, not now, but it used to be the problem. When the state was established, they had too much land for them. They were spread out too thin. No, that wasn't. It was a very big issue. No, it wasn't the early state when
the even smaller than 67.
Now it is. All right, let's look at it. Okay, I take it back. I'm making a mistake.
It was spread in 67 after
the war. The afki chelko hoye rav mimenu ad shenotal shimon bigaroloi. He had too much land for him to handle. That is why Shimon, who got cities, He got the cities in the chelek of Yehuda, Shenemar, Mechevel b'nei Yehuda, from the portion of Yehuda, Nachalas b'nei Shimon. Lefichach yesh dai ata, it is sufficient, b'roichav chelek shnotel Yehuda, there's enough land in the chelek of the Notel Yehuda, b'nei Yehoshua, litil b'chelek achshav chamisha shvatim hanoisarim. The amount of land Yehoshua, Yehuda took in the time of Yehoshua was so massive, now when he's only getting a strip of land, 125,000 amos, there's enough left over for another five shvatim to appear to give him a portion below him. Achshav chamisha shvatim hanoisarim. Lefi she'orech gadol me'oid, there's a very long length. Now he's saying, okay, what's the reason why there's enough land? Because the width is expanded. The Yerushalayim b'mekayma, from the east to the west, that's why there's enough space for everyone, because the land is going to be expanded from the east to west. And therefore, the bottom line over here is the last two words of the Rashi, Yerushalayim b'mekayma. Make no mistake about this. Yerushalayim is in its place. The next part is going to explain. Okay, so this Rashi, you have to be aware of, is a very, very important Rashi. This Rashi over here is just coming to explain over here, is that don't make any mistake and think that in the future, Yerushalayim will be in a new location. You could just imagine how excited our enemies would be to make such a suggestion. When our enemies would go and match up what it says in Sefer Yehoshua and Sefer Yechezkel and see there appears on the surface to be a major discrepancy, and that would mean that when Mashiach will come, Yerushalayim is going to be in a new location, and they would right away, even though they don't believe in anything, but they would use that as a wedge, as some type of wedge to say that why do you attribute to Yerushalayim holiness? Anyway, it's not meant to be in the future, according to your l'shitaschem. So Rashi here nips it in the bud. Okay, this is very, very powerful stuff. Rashi says, despite the discrepancy, it's not a discrepancy, because Yehuda took in the time of Yehoshua a massive chunk of land. We have the advantage of having these beautiful illustrations, which many who came before us did not have. And therefore, if you don't have these illustrations, all of the research being presented to the average person just by walking into any bookstore, what did they do 50 years ago? 50 years ago, even 30 years ago, what did you do when you learned Sefer Yehoshua? You're clueless. Right? Here, no, don't bend down. Don't bend down. Sure. Don't bend down.
Okay.
Das Mikra is also pretty recent. And Das Mikra does not have maps. The Atlas Das Mikra has the maps. And that was only published probably about 20 years ago at best.
There have always been maps.
Very, very weak. Very weak. Very, very weak. But even the maps, even this, they'll admit to you, they'll admit to you in a blink of an eye, this is not necessarily accurate. This is just a suggestion. Okay, it's based upon the best that we can do, the best Messiah that we have, but it's not necessarily accurate.
I mean, right away, I have questions about this matter.
Right, exactly. I mean, they're not you read the notes. They're not telling you this is currently Sinai. This is a question about it. Just a very simplistic attempt based upon the best knowledge that we have to explain the Gevulos Haaretz and Sefer Yehoshua. I remember. I told you that I was in high school, so we had a very, very good Rebbe for Nach. We learned Nach Yehoshua, and he was very, very. He spent a lot of the Rebbe spent a lot of time on analyzing the Gevulos, and he was very disturbed with a lot of the things that were available in the stores. He felt that they were very, very inaccurate to an extreme. So okay, but this is what we have. This is the way it's presented. This is a suggestion. It gives us it gives us a base for something to work with. But it's a really great question. The question is a very powerful question. When you look what it says in Sefer Yehoshua, and you look what it says over here in this Sefer, in Sefer Yechezkel, there seems to be a major discrepancy. How could it be that if Yehuda is in the south, And that's where the Beis HaMikdash is. And now we come to Yecheskel, and then we learn about the Beis HaMikdash, and below the Beis HaMikdash we have now another five Shvatim. We got a big problem here. There seems to be a major discrepancy. And the way Rashi right away acknowledges it, that's an important point to acknowledge the problem. And Rashi says, it gives the answer, you have to understand that Yehuda had a massive, massive chunk of land.
The time of Yeshua.
Yeah. And his piece of land, who knows, it maybe even equaled half of Eretz Yisrael. And now, when you go and you know that secret, now when you go and you look at the map over here, it's not a contradiction. The two can be overlapped, and Yerushalayim will indeed be in the same place. Don't think, you know, we have a two Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, that's why it's plural. Yerushalayim, Yud Mem is plural. Why is it plural? So we say the Yerushalayim Shel Mala is Keneged, the Yerushalayim Shel Mata. There's a spiritual Yerushalayim and there is the physical Yerushalayim.
I thought Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim also.
Yerushalayim, Yud Mem. Yerushalayim, okay, Yeru, Yire. The Yerushalayim Shel Mata is Keneged, the Yerushalayim Shel Mala. So if not for that Chazal, you would say, well, there's a Yerushalayim of the past and there's a Yerushalayim of the future. And they're in two different locations. Our enemies would be very happy to hear such a thing.
Oh.
Our enemies, Ahmad al-Islam. So they, you don't want to give them crazy ideas. You have to appreciate the point that Rashi is coming to make. Don't make that mistake. And you have to know how to work out the geography. It's the same Yerushalayim. Nothing is going to change. You get more an appreciation of the last few parakim. The last few parakim, we took note of major discrepancies between the Moshe and the Torah and what it says in Sefer Yecheskel. So we had two approaches. We had the approach Ein Ochinami. Everything is going to be different. The Kohanim are good. They're going to wear different clothing. The belts are going to be different, and the laws are going to be different. All of these major discrepancies, it's going to be different. Oh, but it says the Torah, nothing's going to change. Okay, so you have to work out what that means. And then we had, I think it was Rashi, who bent backwards to say, no, there's absolutely no difference between what it said before and what it says now. And you have to work and struggle to decipher the meaning of the pasuk to make it work out the way it was before, even though you're going to stretch the meaning. You know, that's a very powerful, because you know why that's so significant is because if you're going to take the other approach and say everything's going to be different, once everything is different, so maybe Yerushalayim is going to be different. There's a Yerushalayim of the past, and there's going to be a new location for Yerushalayim of the future. Wow. See, Rashi was very careful always to say everything is the same. Why? You get an appreciation now. Because you want to go be very liberal and start telling me about all the major changes, and you come to this pasuk over here describing where Yerushalayim is, and you want to go and try to match up into Yehoshua, you're going to have questions. And you're not going to be willing to work out the difficulties. You'll just say, just like everything else is different, the Kohanim wear different clothing, and the laws are different, everything has been changed, so too there will be a new Yerushalayim. That is disastrous. You know what a churban that would make today in Eretz Yisrael to say such a thing? Rashi was very clever from the very, very beginning and to tell you, no, don't make any mistake to say anything is different. Everything is exactly the same. It's a powerful thing. You need to come on to that in order to save Yerushalayim. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Okay, the next pasuk is pasuk Tes. Now we're going to describe the middle section. Now we're going to very, very deep from there over here. That's what we have on the bottom. The bottom over here is the blow up, describing over here the middle section. Hatruma asher trimu Hashem, arach lelendis chamishim yeshem elef, v'roichav aseres alofen. So now we're going to the first part. We're going to focus now on a square in the center. In the center, there's going to be one big square from east to west, which means from right to left, and the center is going to be 25,000 konim. A kana is 6 amos, for a total of 150,000 amos, which equals 75 mil, which is 54 miles. So from east to west, from right to left, we have, and then from top to bottom, from north to south, we have a square, ignoring the nasi. the square and the center were going to divide into three parts. 10,000 amos, and 5,000 amos. So Pasuk Tes tells us about the top, about the first 10,000 amos. And Shuma Shetvimu Lashem Orech Hamisha the Eshim Elef. Its length is going to be 25,000 konim. The Roichav, and its width, meaning from north to south, a shorter dimension, Aseres Alofen. Pasuk Yud, Ula Eile. And in this portion, Tiyeh, it shall be, Trumas HaKodesh, the portion of the land that's uplifted as holy, La Kohanim, to the Kohanim. Safayna, on the north side, Chamisha, the Eshim Elef. On the north side, there will be a 15,000 Amos. I'm sorry, Chamisha, the Yama, on the Tzafon is Chamisha, the Eshim Elef, the Yama, and on the west, Reichav Aseres Alafim, the Kadima, the east, will be Reichav Aseres Alafim, the Negba, and the south, Erech Chamisha, the Eshim Elef, the Hoya, Mikdash Hashem, B'Soichai. So it's drawing for us a square, and not a square, a rectangle. That center portion on the top, the north, is 25,000 konim. Then we're going counterclockwise. Are we going? Where are we going? What was the pass again? First we start over in the north, and then we go west. To the west, and then we go to the east. We're not going in the clockwise, we're going to the east, and then we go to the south, and the south is going to be, therefore it's going to be 25 on the top, 25 on the bottom, 10 on the right and the left. And in the center you see the Mikdash Hashem in this picture, and that Mikdash Hashem was, and we learned yesterday, that's the Har Habayis, that is 3,000 Amos by 3,000 Amos, and here it's presented as 500 by 500 Konim. A Konim we multiply by 6 for 3,000 Amos by 3,000 Amos. Pasuk Yud Aleph, La Kohanim, to the Kohanim, Ham Kudosh, who are sanctified Libnei Tzadok. There are different families of Kohanim. The family of Tzadok, Asher Shamu Mishmarti, they are the ones who guarded my charge in the olden days. Asher Lo Sohu, they did not go astray. B'Sois B'nei Yisrael, when the Jewish people went astray, when people were under pressure, under the influence of the Ummah Sa'ilam, and they abandoned their tradition, this family did not go astray. Kasher To HaLevim, they did not go astray like the Levim went astray. They remain faithful, and therefore they are going to receive the reward now is going to come to them at this point in time. Pasuk Yibes V'hayelohem Terumiyah, it will be to them what is uplifted. Terumiyah means this that is uplifted. Mitrumas Aretz, from the land that's been uplifted. Kodesh Kodoshim, Holy of Holies, El Gvul HaLevim, near, El here means near, Eitzel, the boundary of the Levim, which is immediately below the Kohanim, as you see in the illustration on the bottom portion. Okay, so we've gone through a whole number of psukim. Let's read now over here all these psukim together. Starting with Pasuk, Tess in the Mitsudos David Hatiruma Zeu Chelik Hakayanim Shalashichu Bepasat Sefarim Yachelik Hazed. This is the portion of the Kohanim which will receive in this portion. Orech, the Kohanim will receive the entire portion. Mimizrach Lamar Vdiya Beem Beem Tzois Orech Hachelik. So we go from east to west, and it will be the Tehiya Beem Tzois Orech Hachelik. Now over here he's pointing out over here. What's the number 25,000 from east to west? Did we not learn that there is no 25,000 from east to west? 25 east to west, when we mention east to west, it goes all the way from the Yarden, or perhaps even further, all the way, who knows where, how far it goes, until the Mediterranean. There is no precise number of 25,000. So this is what the Mitsudo says, no. We're going here to draw a boundary.
Right.
Indeed, it's going to be exactly 25,000 konim, 150,000 amos, because everything else, everything extra to the boundaries will go to the Nasi. Okay, yesterday we made the calculation, we came out into a lot of trouble. Yesterday we made the calculation on our own, and it came out that to the west, it would appear there's only about 6 miles left until the Mediterranean. A very, very small amount. And to the east, There's nothing. In fact, there's not even enough space from the 25,000 konim to account for the 25,000. You've already passed the area of the Yarden. And l'chora, the area shul ends by the Yarden, so we know that we're in trouble. Obviously, there's a problem over here, but whatever it is, we're now coming to measure a very precise measurement of 25,000 amos. We're making this square. Pasuk Yud, in the Mitzudos David, le'ela uve'ela chafhe elef Elef al aseres alafim tia lakayhanim bepasafan chafei elef orech
upasma. Did the Kohanim actually live in this territory?
It seems they did.
So all the Kohanim were now wood. Centralized. Wood.
Could they fit in there? Could they fit in there?
I imagine.
I don't know.
Area.
I don't know. That's what it says. It says this is their property. It's their territory, and it's unique in that the Kohanim did not get a chelik in the land in the time of Yoshua. Hashem hu nachalosai. And the time of the Bayis Shlishi, the Kohanim and the Levim will indeed inherit land in Eretz
Yisrael.
They had
place to live.
They had
the
cities. They had cities. Ori Kohanim, just like Shimon, but not territory. Right? Not it's, it, they, was, they were on borrowed property.
Wow.
It was given to them as a gift. You can use this property for your use. Like I was in Eretz Yisrael, so my brother lives in a new development in Beis Shemesh. So there they have shuls. So the property is owned privately. The property is owned by developers. People bought the right property. And the developers are required by law to allocate, to give back. They have a choice. They own the whole territory. But they have to give a certain amount of square feet, meters, whatever it is, for public use. For a library, for a synagogue, for whatever they have to give, then they can choose. This is the way the person explained to me. And the shul I davened in, it was like basically like a caravan. It was a trailer on some like little hill, right next to the magnificent building. So the person there who was in charge, he explained to me what the story is. That this piece of property really originated as part of this massive development, and they built this magnificent building over here, and they built many buildings. But by law, they're required to, on their own, select a certain amount of space and relinquish it to the tzibur. When they relinquish it to the tzibur, it becomes the property of the state of Israel. That's how the legal, how it works. And then the state of Israel has to work with people who give or present proposals of what they want to use from the community, what they want to use this land for. And of course, in a Haredi Tara neighborhood, what are they going to want to use the land for? They're not going to want to use it for a library, or for a Bet Am, for a gym, or a movie theater. Okay, they're not going to go use it for a movie theater, they're going to use it for a Beis HaKnesses. So as you could imagine, there are a lot of different people fighting. This right away creates an opening to fight. Have an opportunity to fight. This is Gvaldik. So of course everyone's fighting. So one group, they came in the middle of the night. The guy told me he drove. He admitted as Chato Ayani Maske. He told me that it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and he drove the trailer into the area to be machzik, to be machzik in the territory. And the state of Israel got very upset. They were very, very angry why he did this. But now they're willing to come to peace in terms with the person, because they're going to make a pshara and they're going to let another shul also share the property. Because there was another shul who built the shul mamish on the street.
Wow.
On the street. And Israel said to me, if you build a shul on the street, the government can't demolish it.
No.
They're very sensitive to demolishing a synagogue, even if you build it in the middle of the street.
Wow.
They said to me, even if you build it in the middle of a highway, they can't do anything. What do you care? What are you crazy? What do you mean? You block the traffic?
Yeah.
He says to me, yeah, that's how it is in Israel. If you go and you build a shul in the middle of the street, the government, their hands are tied. So they said they're desperate to get rid of that shul. So they want to make a pshara that this property is big enough for both, and they'll let them have it, they can share it. I'm listening to this, I'm thinking to myself, only in Israel. Only in Israel you hear such stories. Okay, so over here, this territory is going to be for the Kohanim. This land is being given to the Kohanim. They're going to have a chilin land in the time of Yeshua. They did not, the Kohanim did not have any land. They were just given cities to occupy. Now they're actually going to be given land. The Levim are also given land, and according to what we learned 2 days ago, the Gerim are also going to be given their own portion. Three unique allocations, allotments that appear in the Vayishli time of Mashiach that did not happen in the time of Yehoshua. So here it says, Reichav Aser Salav, further in the Mitzudos, it's going to be 10,000. And the Migdash is going to be smack in the center. As you see in this illustration here, you see the little black box. That is the Migdash Hashem. Pasik Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos, like Ayhanim HaMekudosh, Ze Yutan, this chunk of land, 25,000 kanan by 10,000 kanan will be given as a gift. Lakoyhanim hamikudoshim, who are holy, hamishamshim b'mizbeach, who serve the mizbeach. They service the mizbeach. Vehei mibnei tzadok, which branch of kohanim from tzadok, kohen gadol, asher shamu mishmeres Hashem v'lo zozu mimena. They were faithful through galus. They never abandoned the Torah. In order to make it clear, they did not stray from Hashem. At the time when Bnei Yisrael strayed, so here when the pasuk includes Bnei Levi, he doesn't mean the Levian. He means the other Koyhanim who come from Sheva Levi. Kasher tohu sh'or ha-koyhanim b'nei Levi, sh'osu avoida sa'om l'fnei ha-pasilim. There were many koyhanim in the time of the Bayis Rishayin who used their skills to offer sacrifices. Used their skills to offer sacrifices to avodah zara. Since anyway they had the training, they knew how to do it. This idea was expressed before. It's only this branch of Kehanim who were always faithful and did not stray after Avodah Zarah. They will now be given reward. Only they will be allowed to live in this section. The other Kehanim will not, the Miyuchasim from Bnei Tzadok, will not be allowed to live in this section. They will not be given land in this area of 25,000 Kanim by 10,000 Kanim.
So where did they live?
I guess. I don't know. Where do they live? They live. Maybe. I don't know. Doesn't say. The high solach and pasuk good base like I had a machem yeah hatuma mitumas haaretz ki kol haaretz zua hahi ba'orich kol eretz Yisrael uveroichav chaf hay. This entire strip in the length of the entire eretz Yisrael uveroichav chaf hay elif kanim. This entire strip of land from east to west is called the Trumas Hashem. And of course, going down from top to bottom, north to south, the 25,000 kanim is Trumas Hashem. The whole strip, the Kohanim, Levim, and the Ir, the Moshe, the Chuzah, Soir, and the Nasi, this entire strip is called Truma. But the portion that's going to be allocated, the top portion, the 10,000 in the center, by the 25,000, is called the Teruma Min HaTeruma. That's what it means, Terumia. It's going to be Teruma Min HaTeruma Vihi Kodesh Kodashim. It's Kodesh Kodashim Mul Tumasar. It's relative to the other part of the land that's called Kodesh. This is called Kodesh Kodashim. Okay, so we have over here some very nice ideas in the Mitzudos. Let's see, Rashi, a lot of Rashi, Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes tells us that Truma, I finished the Mitzudos. Turn the page. Okay, we have more Mitzudos. Yeah, a little more Mitzudos. Okay, so drop more El Gvul HaLevim. And this portion will be right at Jason, Achelik HaZeh, Tia Eitzel. The word El means Eitzel Gvul HaLevim. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Tes. HaTruma Asher Trima Lashem Min Achelik HaZeh Shul Fresh Eitzel Yehudu B'Droimai. This chunk of land that has been set aside, Eitzel Yehudu B'Droimai. Yehudu is above. On the chart, you see on page 975, you see right above the Truma, you see the Yehudu. Orech Mimizrach Arayam. The land goes Mimizrach from the east boundary, Arayam till the Mediterranean. Verechav Eshim V'Chamish Elf Kanim. And from north to south, the 25,000 Kanim. Nimena, from it yet Truma LaHashem LeMikdash. We're going to now select a section of 10,000 kanim from north to south by 25,000 in from east to west. That's going to be for the Beis HaMikdash somewhere in the middle, and the remaining will be batim la koyhanim. What is this chunk? It's going to be 25,000 from east to west by 10,000 from north to south. Yud ul'ilat hiya tumas ha-kodesh la-koyanim ve'ele ha-aseres alof v'reicha v'yeshim le-chamish elef arich hiya la-koyanim ma-tzafon will be to the koyanim. B'sech v'tzua sa-tzuma ha-gdol ha-itzel d'roma shal Yehuda. It's going to be for them, and the top boundary will be near the boundary of Yehuda above them. Tzafoyna chamisha v'yeshim elef hu ha-arich mi-mitzroch l'mara v'yama v'reicha v'aseres alofim. And on the west and the east, it's going to be 10,000. Netzer Ma'aravi Shalavetzua Roichav Aseres Alafim in Atzafim Adavim. We did before the Kodima on the east side. Roichav Aseres Alafim Ruach Mizrachas Shalavetzua Aseres Alafim in Atzafim Mizavdarin. The Negba, the southern portion is 25,000. Arich Hamisha V'Yeshem Olaf Min Amitzoch L'Marif. Next, the Hoya Mikdash Hashem B'Soychay Hu Har Habayis. The Har Habayis is smack in the center. Chomesh meos konim al chomesh meos konim yeh be'emser ritzua zo in the center v'chol svivoysav la'kohanim, and everything else in the center is going to be l'kohanim. Shnei mosa alafim mimosayim l'chamish l'tzad mizrach. So if you have 25,000 and you subtract 500, you're left with 24,500. Divide 24,500 by 2, and that's how much you're going to have on the left and on the right. Because Shneim Osar Alafim Umosayim Lechamisha, 12,250 Litzad Mizrach. He's keeping on the Mizrach V'chein Litzad Marav Uveroychav Arbas Alafim, and the width will be 4,750 latzafon, 4,750 latzafon, v'chein ladoroim. Chmo she'amu l'malah b'inyin yeh mizeh etz l'kodesh chamesh meos b'chamesh meos meruba. It will be from this l'kodesh, because when you subtract the har habayis, which is 500 by 500, then above you're going to have 4,750 on top, 4,750 below, and on the left you're going to have 12,000. What was the number again? You're going to have on top, you're going to have 12,250 and 12,250. In the center you have a block of 500 by 500. Everything besides the block of 500 by 500 will be to the Kohanim in this section above of 10,000 by 25,000 Kohanim. Pasuk Yud Aleph Yud Lakachayim Laham Hamikudash Hachelik Hazeh Hamikudash Yihiel Lakachayim. Pasuk Yibes Terumia Mifudeshes Terumia Hishem Hafrosha. The word Teruma is separation. Terumia Mufreshes.
No.
Hafrosha.
Teruma is a noun. Okay. Which means separation.
An adjective.
Yeah, separated.
Separated. So it's just a different form of the word. Teruma hi shem hafrosha. It's the shame, the noun of hafrosh. This is separated. Terumiya, it means
something separated.
Something separated. Okay, so it's also a noun. Right?
Well,
something. Well, not really. No, it's not a noun. So truma is the noun. This is separated.
Maybe this is a verb. It's possibly a verb.
A verb form. So okay, to say whatever the English equivalent is, I don't know. But truma hishem hafrosha. It's the shame of separation. Terumiya mufreshes. This is something which has been separated for who? For Hashem. V'hoyisolham aretzua zos mufreshes mitrumas aretz min hatruma hagdolo shehud hushruma min aretz. Okay, he's repeating the same idea as the Mitzvudos, and this chunk of land entirely was uplifted from the land. Oirech the land may okyanus ad gvul mizrach, from the Mediterranean all the way until the mizrach. Bereichav eshem chamish al alafim, 25,000 amos kmo akonim kmo shom lamala. Many of the ruitzu zubim sa oirech alakonim amigdash. And from this chunk, we're going to select 25,000 by 10,000 to go give to the Kohanim. Kodesh Kodashim, Shekola Tuma Hagdil Kodesh, the entire land is Kodesh, La Kohanim, Levim, Vilanas, Vilchus Ha'ir, Ulo Oivde Ho'ir, the entire land is Kodesh, which includes the Kohanim, the Levim, the Nasi, the Achuzas Ho'ir, like you see in the picture, and Ulo Oivde Ho'ir, That's the Irlum Moshav, Kemoshav, Farshav, Oilach, Vizoshal, Eshem, Hamisha, Elif, Oirich, Vasaris, Allah from Reichav, it's Svina, Hamifaresh, that's Minena, Lakoihanim, Vlamigdash, Tia Kodesh, Kodoshim. Everything is Kodesh, the entire strip is Kodesh, and the portion that is allocated to the Kohanim is called Kodesh Kodoshim. Okay, so that concludes the Rashi. And then one more Rashi, El Gvul Halavim, Eitzel Ritzuas Halavim. This is near the Ritzua of the Levim. Okay, let's go further. Now we go, let's continue. Let's try to finish this off. Pasuk Gimel. Now we go down to the next section. Below the Kohanim is the Levim. Pasuk Gimel, Halavim, Mas Gvul, Levim. Opposite or adjacent, parallel. Eitzel, it's a parallel to Umas Gevul HaKoyhanim, Chamisha V'Eshrim Elef, same exact thing you see in the picture. 25,000 Orech from east to west, V'Roichav, and from north to south, Aser Salafim, called Orech Chamisha V'Eshrim Elef, the entire length from both on top and below, both north and south, will be 25,000, and V'Roichav, on both on the east and the west, it's not going to be any type of funny shape. It's going to be a rectangle, a perfect rectangle.
Right.
It's going
in
to
the middle, like,
nothing in the middle, right? Nothing in the middle. Here, v'roichav aseres alafim. Pasuk yudalid v'lo yimkeru mimenu. Here we have a new halacha. They're not allowed to sell. They're not allowed to sell their land. Unlike other Jews in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, if they so wish, they can sell their property. But the Levim and the Kohanim
right.
are not allowed to sell the
this
land.
Applies to the Kohanim too?
Lechari, yeah. I'm assuming yes, because
it's
all part of
a special
of it.
District, so there's no
a special
sell
district.
It to outsiders.
Yeah, you can't. No. That's a very interesting idea. Laws of who you allowed to sell to. Think about that. Do you have such thing in America like that in Havdil in the secular state that you, when you, if you you're not allowed to sell your property? This is your property and it cannot be sold. Or let's say even if it can be sold, you limit who you can sell it to.
Sure,
you let China buy your house?
Condos.
What?
Condos. They are.
They are. I'm saying you don't. We're not familiar in a free country. In a free country, we're not familiar with such a concept where you're allowed. Where in America, you can sell your house to the to a foreign government. If you want to sell a home in Flatbush, I want to sell it to Zimbabwe. I want to sell it to the country.
Yeah,
what?
Probably not to a government, but to a private.
In the United States, are you allowed to sell a?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to sell a home to a government? Is there a law? United States, you want to sell your home to a government, a foreign government. I'm talking about
they have consulates, right?
What?
No,
that's the government gives them. The government
sure
gives them consulates.
There are rules about investment.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of rights.
Okay. In a
chanami.
So there are rules. In Eretz Yisrael, there are rules as well. In Eretz Yisrael, there are rules. And there, a whole Eretz Yisrael, you can sell you, and they have all the laws. We have Shmit, we have Yovel, Veshaft, and Ishalach, Uzasai, Bati, Arichayma, Steachuza, complex laws of selling assets. If you can, a home in a walled city, a home in a unwalled city, selling land, you have a very complex set of rules of how you sell property. When it goes back to you, when it comes yovel, does not go back? When you can force the person to sell it back to you? But here we have a new set of rules that in this district of the Kohen Levi, you're not allowed. Period. It's not chal.
Cohen can't sell it to Cohen.
No. The Levim, it's the property of the Levim. Only the Levim, a Levite, that's it, no one else. And the part of the Kohanim is only the Kohanim. That's what it says.
But
I'm
just saying, it came from one to the other one.
Oh.
No, that's a good question.
Good question. Can you sell from one Levi? I don't know. We have to look at the Mefarshim. I don't know. Good question. V'lo, is it on the din of a Shevet or is it on the din of the individual? V'lo Yimkudu, Mimenu.
Yes, you can see it from the nice salon part.
That was the Midbar. We have no raya. That's not a raya.
Taking it out of the shaven.
All of you were allowed after it came a time after that's Tubah. When it came a certain point in time, you were allowed. There was no limit. There was no prohibition to sell from one shaven to another, selling that from one family to another. Here we have a new idea, a whole new thing that we never had before. We're giving land to Kohanim and Levim. We've never done this before. Kohanim Levim never had a chelik in the land. Hashem hu nachalasei. And here, for the very first time, they get land, and it comes with strings attached. And the strings attached are they're not allowed to sell the land. So you're asking a very good question. Does that mean the Shevet may not sell the land, but maybe the individual can sell the land from one Levi to another Levi, or from one coin to another coin? It's not clear. Let's see what it says in the Parsha. You're not allowed to exchange. When you sell something, you relinquish ownership. When you exchange, you barter, you're getting something in exchange. It's forbidden. Why? We don't want the reishis. This is, we have a new term now. This section is called the reishis. It's rishon l'tzion. This is the reishis ha'aretz. It may not be yavir, may not be passed over to another shevet, to another entity. Ki kodesh la Hashem, the land is holy to Hashem. It sounds like it's a corporation, right? Who's such a thing? That's one of the most fascinating things in modern in halacha. What is the going off the topic? What is a corporation? In halacha, there is no such thing, chayra, as a corporation. There's no such thing. Property is owned by an individual. Someone has to take responsibility. You can't declare bankruptcy and just say I'm not responsible. The whole idea of filing for bankruptcy is kineged kol ha'toyer kula. What does it mean to file bankruptcy? I'm not responsible. I have debt, and I'm not responsible for my debts. Yeah?
Is Hegdesh something like a corporation?
No, because it belongs to Hashem. It's Hashem's property. A corporation in America, it's a very fascinating halakha.
It's not privately owned. Yeah.
Who owns it? Not the government. The government doesn't own it. It's not owned by the church.
I'm saying.
So who owns a corporation?
A group can't own a property?
No, a group. So you have shares. That's private ownership. You have private ownership. Just because you have a group, you have partners, shutfim. That's Masechta Masechta Baba Basra. Hashutafin. The first word of Masechta Baba Basra deals with partners. You have a property and it's owned by 50 partners. But let's say the property goes bankrupt, or let's say they have debt. Someone sues this company and they won. Are the people responsible? No. In a corporation, it's not mine. I don't own it. I just draw the profits, but I have no responsibility.
The corporation still owns it. They don't have the liability. That's the law.
If you don't have liability, so that means it's not yours. In the Torah, there's no such thing as benefit without liability. It's the two sides of one coin. If you are entitled to take profits, you automatically have responsibility for liability. A corporation, it's an incredible thing, a credible invention of the human mind, to have a property where it's a one-way street. I take the profits, I benefit. If there are profits in the company, I benefit. But if someone sues this company, and the company now owes billions of dollars, they don't go after me. I'm not responsible.
Not personally.
I'm not responsible. They cannot touch my assets. I'm going to lose my investment. If I got lucky, I have already made up my investment by now. But this corporation has caused harm to the world, has caused damage. I'm not responsible. In the Torah, such a thing exists? No way. So how in halacha, when you're dealing with shilas of ribis, and shilas of oinah, and shilas of all the entire chayish and mishpat, how does chayish and mishpat deal with a corporation? It's very challenging.
Who owned the
Beis Hamikdash? Us. That's exactly the point we're over here. We clear over here. The Beis Hamikdash. Who owns the Beis Hamikdash? No, the Jews don't own it. Mishulchan Gavoya. The Gemara is a shy when it comes to Kodesh Kalim. Is it Mishulchan Gavoya or even Kodesh Kasha? Mishulchan Gavoya Kazachu? Or is it? No, it's the Chelik of the Kohanim. You do see that in some areas it is the property of the Kohanim. Acherim. When it comes Yovel, there are dividends distributed to the Kohanim. When it comes Yovel, certain property goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and Kohanim then get, whoever's on duty on that Mishmar gets dividends, he gets the property. So the closest thing you're going to have to a corporation halacha, indeed, is a Beis HaMikdash. But it's not an exact match, this is a far cry.
But it's close.
It's close.
Sort of a board of directors, and
okay. It's very, very interesting. And you look in all the Chayish Mishvot Sfarim, which is a league by itself. Anyone that has understanding, anyone who's able to really have a grasp of Chayish Mishpat, is in a category by themselves. And that's one of the big, big, big issues, big topics of conversation.
The Knesset was never owned individually; it had to be.
Every shul is set up differently. You can't.
What about then?
Then. I don't know how it was set up then. I don't know. It's given to the tzibur.
I don't know how it works.
Zion
Toivei Ho'ir.
They were betrayed.
Zion Toivei Ho'ir. There are different situations where you're allowed to sell the Beis HaKnesses. I don't know. You're right. So how then you're asking a question, going back to the time of Chazal, you're going back to the time of Chazal, well, it's not in the Torah. Yeah. At the time of Chazal, the Rabbanon, if you had a Beis HaKnesses, they had Bote Knesios. Who owned the Bote Knesios?
You know what? Probably wasn't a whole lot different. Some were communal and some were private.
So when you say it's communal, what does that mean? It's communal.
Like
is there liability? Is there liability? Let's say the shul causes that the property of the shul was built illegally and it caused damage.
Then the community is lost.
So are the people who are members of the shul, can they come in the time of the gemara? Could the people who are suing the shul for damage, could they come after the individual members for compensation? I don't know.
Why,
I don't know.
What about today? Why do you have to go way back?
Today, it's probably much easier. Today we have laws. Today there are laws. And they're secular laws. And the Beis HaKnesses, if it's established as a Beis HaKnesses and it's a tax exemption, all these things, so l'chayra, there's a very limited, like a corporation almost, there's very limited liability. But if a shul is a private property, then I don't know. You have to go talk to a lawyer. How today you can't be derived from today. If you're doing it in a Torah state, a halachic Torah state, then you have to, what would the Torah say? There is no such thing today, anywhere in the entire world, as a Torah society with Torah law. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Torah law. This is a whole dilemma in Eretz Yisrael.
We get that.
What?
We get that.
It's not Torah law. And many Gedolim are very happy it's like that, because it would not work. It's not possible that even if the government today, let's say all of the people in the Knesset, they were all Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, yes, and they were all Mamash, let's say, and they would all come and they would say, let's establish a Medina according to Halacha. I think the Gedolim would say, no way. No way, Jose. We'll sublease the country to a secular government, so we should not have in this country Torah law, because it's just not possible. It's not possible, almost. Mayor of Kefir, he has a lot of good lectures on this, about the impossibility today, in the modern times, according to the Gedolei Yisrael, who made statements that the state, even if theoretical, it's not, of course, that they would want to make the state of Israel operate according to Shulchan Aruch, rewrite the constitution of the state of Israel. So it could not work.
You can't do it, you won't have a Shabbos.
It could not work. Why can it not work? I don't know. Maybe we have to do some research.
Because there wouldn't be any central authority, because nobody can decide on who the central authority is.
And that's a technical point.
That's more than technical.
I don't know. Let's leave that for another time. Maybe we'll do some research. It's a very fascinating topic. It's called Mishpat. What is it called? Mishpat
it's a bit
Ivri? What is it called? Mishpat?
There's
a term for it.
Mishpat Ivri. Yeah.
Mishpat
and
Ivri.
One kill Hashem, it kills your whole business. And you're always going to have a dishonest diet.
I'm not talking about. There's something called Mishpat.
My niece, who's in law school, actually just getting her master's in law school, had to take a course in Mishpat Ivri, which was quite difficult.
Yeah,
but Mishpat Ivri doesn't mean halachic.
Yeah,
it means a combination of a Jewish culture.
It means
it's based in halacha. It tries to say, let's make believe we're going to follow, we're going to make the laws according to halacha. What would be? How would we deal with all of the issues?
There's a new head of the coalition in Israel. He was appointed yesterday. And Netanyahu's first job to him was to put together a law stating that the state of Israel is a Jewish state.
Jewish.
And therefore we have rights in Yerushalayim.
Right.
All kinds of...
Well, that's an old issue. That's Jewish. Okay, that's Jewish.
He was never Jewish?
Never officially made Jewish?
There is a whole organization in Israel that's working on halachas now that since it's been 2,000 years since we were responsible for our own political entity, that there's a whole group that's addressing many of the issues that are coming up now we haven't had to deal with for 2,000 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's finish up this. So over here, Ki Reish Ki Kodesh LaShem.
Okay, now let's see what it says in Pasuk Tes. Let's just see, we're running out of time. Let's just do the mitzvot. These psukim will stop. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the mitzvot. Just these two psukim. Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph in the mitzvot and Rashi. Yud Gimel. It says here in Yud Gimel. Okay, the Levim that you see in the picture is going to be right adjacent. Omar, as you pointed out, that the Kohanim did not get the entire section of land. They were denied one teeny little section, not teeny, but that one section of the Har Habayis, 3,000 amos by 3,000 amos. That's why it says the Levim yekol arich lafsig davu. The Levim, there's no base hamikdash in their section.
It's about 1/400.
One 400th. Okay. Oh, that's very interesting. It's one. That's a very interesting number we had yesterday. Okay, 1/400. That's a very interesting number. Okay. So they go. The Levim are going to have the entire area, Pasuk Yudalit, V'lo Yimkudu Mimenu, Choyzehu Ala Koyhanim V'Al HaLevim. This goes back on both the Koyhanim, they may not sell their assets, Shlo Yimkor Ki Mimeachu Zasa, V'lo Yomer, V'lo Yachalif Mimenu Bekar Kacheres, V'lo Yavir Mimenu Shem Reishis Oretz. It should not pass, be transferred the name, the Reishis, Ki Kumo Shenikra Shuma Nikra or Reishis. So here he's introducing a new idea that there are really two terms. This is called the Truma, and it's also called the Reishis. Ki HaTruma Nikra Reishis Truma is called Reishis. Kemo Shenemar Reishis Digoncha V'Ala Truma Yoimar. And concerning the Truma, it says Yoimar Shemafrish Oisar Rishayna. You shall be mafresh. Why is Truma called Reishis? Because it comes before Meiser. Before you separate Meiser, Rishon, Meiser, Sheni, Meiser, Oni, you have to first separate Truma. So Truma is synonymous with the word Reishis. Shemafresh is a Reishis. Koidem Hamaser. Ki Koidesh Lashem, Ki Achuzas HaKoyhanim HaLevim, Yehem HaKoidesh, V'Eim Eroi L'Hoitzir, B'L'chun L'yos B'yad Zorim. It's sacred. This section of limb is sacred, therefore it's not proper that it should be denied, it should be traced. We have here a beautiful Yisoid, that we have two different terms, called Reishis, and it's called Truma. Rashi, two short Rashis here, V'alavim, Lumas, Kavula, HaKoyhanim, Eitzel, Ritzua, Sakoyhanim, Kimidas, HaKoyhanim, Kineged, Kol Orka, Kol Orich, Kol Ritzua, Orka, Neshem, Mechamish, Elf, similar to the whole entire length, V'lo Yomer, Lo Yachlifein, Bekar, Kacher, it should not be switched. Okay, so we have to stop over here. Pick up your Shem tomorrow.